This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. You're listening to William Hill's Golf Podcast with Dave Kellner and Mike Grenham. In the studio to have a look at this week's golfing action, which includes the M2M Russian Open, the RBC Canadian Open, and I think for one of the first times ever, Mike, we're going to have a proper look at the senior event rather than just mentioning that we're going to do it on Twitter. And
well,
then
we're doing this on Wednesday, so yes, we've got the extra day to. Prices are all out, which they were early for this event, so no excuses.
It's good, isn't it? It's good news.
Yeah, well, it's full Sky coverage this week, the Senior Open, so it's the premium event in Europe, I think.
We've just nudged the Russian Open just to one side, haven't we?
Yes.
A little bit. We will talk about that event, but we've not got any bets in the M2M Russian Open, which is making its return to the European Tour schedule this week for the first time in 3 years. So we'll have a little discussion about that event in a few moments' time. But first, Phil Mickelson, the winner of the 142nd Open Championship. Unbelievable finish from Lefty. Four birdies in the last six holes on a tough, difficult Sunday in an Open Championship. It was a pretty special conclusion to what I thought was an exceptional tournament, Mike.
Yes, it was an outstanding finish by Big Phil, wasn't it? His finish, as you say, with those four late birdies on the holes that were playing amongst the top most difficult on the course on the day as well, let's not forget, apart from the par five, was quite remarkable. So an amazing performance by him. He's a player I've always had a lot of time for, but unfortunately he's become a bit of a nemesis whenever I back him, and nowadays he seems to let me down like in the US Open, and in the last 2 weeks he's beaten players that I had that were second, so for decent bets. So I'd backed Brandon Grayson running last week, so yeah, I was delighted for him though, kind of.
Yeah, I felt the same. I had my biggest bet of the year on Phil Mickelson in the Masters. One major championship.
We picked the wrong major, Dave, didn't we? Either US Open.
Yeah. It's just one major championship that you think, oh, he competes every year at Augusta. I think he regrets taking that week off before the Masters, which he doesn't usually do, and he wasn't quite in tip-top shape.
Yeah, but you have to say he's probably the best player in the world at the moment.
Yeah.
I know he's number two in the rankings, but
it's arguable, isn't it? Tiger Woods has won four times on the PGA Tour this season. Mickelson's competed in two major championships, winning winning the Phoenix as well.
Yeah. So he's just an outstanding. He's just a brilliant player, isn't he? And his all-round play was amazing on the final day. He just was inspired. A bit like when he won the Masters a few years ago, maybe in his first Masters, where he just finished like a runaway train and there was no stopping him, you know.
It puts Tiger's chase for the 19 majors to pass Jack Nicklaus's record into perspective, doesn't it? Because Phil Mickelson, his body of work, his full career has yielded five major championships. That's the exact number that Tiger needs to get past Jack Nicklaus. And that line that Nicklaus has set is starting to look a little bit like a dot on the horizon for Tiger Woods.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, Dave, because Tiger's obviously a better player in his career than Phil. There's no question about that. You know, he's three times as many majors nearly. So as much as I like Phil, you have to be fair about it. And you've also got to say that Tiger will feel that this one got away. He should really have won this Open, in my opinion. I know I backed him, and there were a couple of things that just a couple of moments, Dave, where he just kind of crucial moments. Started ever so well on Friday after a good round on Thursday, and a couple of three foot putts that he missed, that really kind of stopped his momentum on the Friday. You know, he looked like he was going to run away with it at one point on Friday, I thought. And then Saturday morning as well, he got to the lead, then dropped a couple of shots almost straight away, which is most unlike Tiger. I have a feeling if he'd got to the lead and held it, it would have been a different ball game on Sunday, and I'm not sure Mickelson would have been able to catch him. So I'm convinced Tiger will think that he'd let this one get away. He just probably wasn't quite aggressive enough on the right holes, played a little bit too defensive. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he was too conservative, especially on the Friday when the course was there for him.
That was the day he
missed Friday morning. I think he needed to... Obviously, you set conservative targets, but you're aggressive to those conservative targets. I think he set conservative targets and played conservatively as well.
Didn't
to the middle of every single
approach,
green.
Did he? No.
And then you've got to play perfect golf if you're going to play like that, because you're going to make bogeys around that course if you do miss to conservative targets. So I thought Tiger Woods was outstanding. His iron play was superb over the first couple of days. Didn't capitalise, didn't score as well as he should have scored. There's still that hesitation in me to back Tiger Woods in a major championship at the moment.
Well, he certainly went close enough this week. So, I do think those... His putting started pretty well on the Thursday. Friday, it just kind of went wrong. He missed two very short putts, and it just seemed to undermine him. I don't think he put it as well for the rest of the week. But he will win more majors. There's just no question. He's too good not to. You know, he's finished in the top 10 here, and he remains the best player ever, in my opinion. So... I would certainly say win majors.
Another Hall of Famer winning at Muirfield as well. The golf course set up to absolute perfection. It was weird because I was thinking how good is this event all the way through, and then it was kind of anticlimactic at the end because Phil was playing ahead of the action.
Yes,
and like watching Westwood come in at Westwood, heartbreaking for Lee Westwood, wasn't it? Again,
yeah. Whilst I think Tiger Woods will win majors, whether he win four or not, I'm not sure. That I think that could have been a crucial miss this week actually for him to get to 18. I have to say that, you know, I could see him winning a couple more, but maybe four or five more, maybe not. But one guy who is going to struggle to win majors based on Sunday is Westwood. You have to feel for the guy because he played ever so well, putted ever so well, actually. His ball striking wasn't... It's funny, isn't it? You work
amazing.
On one
he led,
thing...
He led the putting stats after three rounds, didn't he?
I think he led them at the end in terms of one putts and what have you. So, but he didn't play well on Sunday at all. In fact, I felt he was quite fortunate not to score quite a bit higher. There was got some lucky breaks.
Decent week for the podcast. Stenson got you a full place. Tiger got you a place as well. Just missed out with Hunter Mahan. You had your three picks were in the top five going into Sunday.
They were. They were the top five in partway through the final round, weren't they? At three of the five, Mahan dropping out of the places with a bogey on the last was frustrating. But yeah, three players in the top ten. I'd have settled for that before the tournament. I had my three picks, Dave. You know, so it was a rewarding week. Could have been a lot better, obviously.
And we did okay in the specials market as well. Hideki Matsuyama was tremendous, incredible talent, and he landed that top Japan, Korean, that hybrid market comfortably at 3-1. Miguel Angel Jimenez landed your top Spaniard.
Indeed. Only just. It was quite tight, that.
Yeah, Carlos Del Moral went well, didn't he?
Eduardo
De La Riva.
Went well. Eduardo De La Riva went well. Garcia was thereabouts. But to Jimenez, who deserved it because he was ahead the whole way in that market, just got through in the end.
Yeah, and an American winner. Which
top nationality, 11-8, was a big price. We both said that, didn't we?
Both talked about
so our specialities were good. We had a couple of first round leader bets that went down, but other than that, it was good.
And only a couple of weeks until the PGA Championship, the US PGA Championship, the final major of the season from Oak Hill, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, Tiger probably win that game. He's got every chance, to be fair. He's playing well again.
Just one word before we leave the Open Championship chat and the Major Championship chat. I saw a tweet from Joe Crilly, who's one of our PR correspondents, after the Open Championship concluded, and he said that someone had £30,000 on Tiger Woods to win the US PGA Championship at 9-2.
Yeah, it was Phil Mickelson had that bet. And it's been, it wasn't, by the way. that was a joke.
It's been cut to 7-2.
That's a remarkably brave bet.
I'd say daft bet.
Daft might be harsh, but I think he'll be at least 92.
Yeah, he's got to be, hasn't he?
We saw there on an event, he was 11-1 Tiger, wasn't he, with eight places for the Open, which to me was a massive price. And you said, can you back him for majors? Well, you were making money with seven places and 11-1, weren't you?
Yeah.
You know, so you can back him. He won't be as short as 7-2, surely, on the day, will he?
Can't be, especially when it gets...
I was surprised that Mickelson wasn't a much closer price to him after doing that market. Why is he three times the price?
It doesn't make any sense, does it? At all, really.
Not really.
And you think about how competitive the bookmaking industry is around major time. You can't be any shorter than 92.
But of course, taking a bet like that, you've got to cut the price. He's 72 now, isn't he?
Yeah. On to this week's events, then. We'll start off with the Russian Open. The European Tour returns to Russia for the first time in 4 years with the M2M Russian Open at the stunning Solivo Golf and Polo Club this week. And after 3 successful years hosting the Challenge Tour, the players have talked positively about the venue, Mike, in the past 3 years. The players that have played Challenge Tour events there and are competing this week on the European Tour. And the last 3 winners of the event on the Challenge Tour, Alex Kalika, Sam Little and Carlos Del Moral, that's where I was getting confused.
Yep.
They all won here and they're all in the field this week. I've not had a bet in the event, mainly because I don't like putting things up on the podcast that I'm not going to bet on, and I'm not going to bet on this event. One, because I've not studied it intensely, and two, because there's no television coverage.
No television coverage, so people can't watch it. I've had a number of bets in the Senior Open, so I couldn't study them all, and I didn't particularly like the look of this one as a betting proposition beforehand. So, and probably won't bet on it during the event. So, one to keep an eye on, but hard to really make a strong case for a bet, for me at any rate.
Yeah, there were a couple that did interest me. Chris Doak, I think, is interesting. He's finished 9th and 4th on his last 2 starts at this golf course and comes into this event with a little bit of form, but 33-1 was short enough. And I do like the Scandinavian contingent here. JB Hansen, Morten Oren Madsen.
Hansen played very well in Scotland, didn't he?
He's
got a Scottish Open, yeah.
So to come back from that start that he had in the final round, he had a 9, didn't he?
Mm.
And then got right back into contention. So I thought he was interesting, but again, 25-1 didn't quite float my boat, as it were. And I didn't see any real massive value here.
The only player that caught my eye, Dave, just because he was quite low down the markets, was Michael Hoey at something like 50-1. He's not been in stunning form, but this isn't the best of fields, so he caught my eye. But other than that, it was hard to see much to catch the imagination.
Yeah, and the only comparison you can make with this event to the Canadian Open is they both played on Jack Nicklaus design golf courses, aren't they, this week?
Yes.
Let's get stuck into the Canadian Open then. This is the PGA Tour event this week, and it returns to Glen Abbey, the Canadian Open. And they're returning here for the first time since 2009. This is actually one of Jack Nicklaus's earliest designs. It's a tree-lined par 72 that I believe places a high demand on accuracy off the tee and rewards those that can put the ball in the fairway. It underwent some changes prior to the 2004 Canadian Open, which was at this venue as well. The golf course was lengthened by 100 yards, and taking advantage of the par fives has often been crucial here. 3 par fives on the back nine. And when Nathan Greene won here in 2009, he led the fairways hit statistic, and Ches Reavy ranked 4th. In driving accuracy when winning in 2008. And if you look through that leaderboard in 2004, Mike, as well, that leaderboard was populated by guys that can really strike it from the tee. Vijay Singh won, Retief Goosen, Justin Rose and Hunter Mahan were in the top 10. All guys that are very, very strong from the tee.
Agree, Dave. Yep, I agree with all of that. I think it's driving accuracy is important this week.
I've got a couple of selections. I'll spin you through the betting. It's Brant Snedeker. I wasn't going to for a second. Brant Snedeker's 12-1.
I was rather hoping.
Hunter Mahan is 18-1. Matt Kuchar 18-1 as well. Charles Schwartzel is in the betting at 20s. Dustin Johnson 20-1. Luke Donald 20-1. Graham McDowell is 22s. Bubba Watson 25-1. Ernie Els 25-1. Hideki Matsuyama 25-1. And it's 28s. But you can tell it's the week after the Open Championship. I'm suffering from a hangover. I'm just trying to... I'm becoming discombobulated.
Oh, are you?
One of my guys has been supported in the market as well.
We'll try to get combobulated.
I'll try and get combobulated here.
Yeah. Who's going first?
I've got a couple of selections.
If you're discombobulated, maybe I should go first.
You go first.
I'm going to go for I may live to regret this, but I'm going to give Hunter Mahan another chance in this event. He obviously had every chance to win the Open on Sunday and didn't really do the business. I think he was four over in the end, wasn't he?
Yep.
On his round on Sunday. And that's with an eagle in the round. So there were some mistakes. But I'm going to give Hunter another chance in that he's had two very, very close finishes in majors in the last month. And you may argue, and I'd understand this if people said that he may be suffering a hangover from it, but he's playing ever so well. And this course is one that he was fourth at in 2004, as you've referenced already. He's putting very well, putting very well in the Open. Didn't probably drive the ball quite as accurately as he normally does on tour, or probably play the greens quite as well as sometimes he do. As you said last week, he's quite metronomic at times. But got the ball around and give himself an ever such a good chance of landing the claret jug without finishing the job on the final day. So I'm going to give Hunter a chance just because he's in such good form and... He is a very good ball striker, top 25 for ball striking, top 30 for driving accuracy, top 10 for total driving. And he's, as I say, he's top 50 for putting, which is a revelation for him this season. So I think he's due a win out early on Thursday. I'm hoping he can go out and get a good start to the tournament and build on it. I think if I was him, I'd be encouraged that he's now a proper major player and his time will come.
18-1, Hunter Mahan. It's been a topic that's debated highly whether you can come from the Open Championship and win the following week. But I don't think it's as big a factor as people are making out personally. No,
well, I don't either because I've picked two players who've done that.
I have as well.
You know, these are young, fit athletes these days, and you know, surely they're used to travelling. You know. Long distances on very relaxing aeroplanes. It's sometimes overplayed. Look, you know, there's a whole host of reasons why players can play well or not, but I'm willing to give the two guys I've picked a chance.
I am as well. I've gone with Graham McDowell as my headline selection. He has been cut from 25-1, which I thought was a really good price, into 22-1, GMAC. This is a guy that just continues in good form. I know he maybe didn't perform as well at the Open Championship as he would have liked, having been paired with Tiger Woods and Louis Oosthuizen, who dropped out early in that.
He said watching Tiger was like watching a clinic on the first 2 days.
Which is something, isn't it? For a top player, he does seem to have a certain amount of affection for Tiger. Every time he plays with Tiger, he likes to talk. I think he wants to be Tiger's friend. I think he does want to be Tiger's friend. I think he's got. I think a lot of players are in awe of Tiger. They've grown up watching him play, and Graham McDowell's one of those guys, a younger guy.
He did hit the ball ever so well.
He did. But GMAC's winner of the Heritage, the Match Play and the French Open in the last couple of months. So for a guy coming in to this event with three wins in the last 2 months to be 22-1, I think still a fair price. And even though some people might say he's just playing here for the sponsors because he is sponsored by RBC, I reckon this is a course that's tailor-made for him. Ranks 10th in driving accuracy on the PGA Tour, 15th in driving accuracy on the European Tour, 11th in strokes gained putting as well on the PGA Tour. And these greens are very, very small, aren't they? They measure well below average, 4,000 square feet. So scrambling's going to be important this week because you are going to miss these greens. He's second in scrambling, GMAC. And even if you take those wins away, you look at his resume on the PGA Tour this season, finished tied 9th in the Honda and tied 3rd at Cadillac as well. A guy that's really elevated his game in the last couple of years and seems to be progressing again this year. I'm more than willing to give GMAC a chance at 22-1. I think it's a good price.
Yeah, he must have a chance, Dave. The course should suit him, shouldn't it? My second pick is Charles Fortzel, who I think was possibly a little bit undercooked after the US Open when he turned up at Muirfield last week. Had a very poor first round, and then two of his final three rounds were pretty good to finish top 15. Surprisingly high, really, considering his really poor start. So his form figures are, like, at the moment, a third at the Byron Nelson, missed the cut at Colonial, then eighth... in Memorial, 14th at the US Open, where really he had an absolute horrendous final round when Had some cash on him, and 15th in the Open. So his form is in really good heart. He's playing really well, putted well last week. His accuracy off the tee was very good last week, which it hasn't been particularly strong on this year, and will need to be better for this week. So that's one thing that he will definitely need to continue. He's played in Canada before, not at this course, admittedly, in 2011 at a top 10 here. I think Schwartz is one of the best players in the world, and I'm willing to give him a go at 20-1. I think he should he may come into this primed after. I don't understand why he didn't play in between the US Open and Muirfield. I really don't. So let's hope that that's brought him on a bit, and he's come on for the run, as they say in racing parlance.
Yeah, Charles Schwartzel, your second selection. Are you going a point each way on both those guys?
Point winning, half a point place on each.
On each at 18s and 20-1 respectively. Yeah. My second and final selection here. You've just got two?
Mm.
Yeah. I'm going with Justin Leonard as my my outside pick here at 125-1 this week. Hopefully he could be inspired by the recent success of the old boys on tour. Phil Mickelson winning the Open and Woody Austin winning the Sanderson Farms.
Didn't mention him.
Didn't talk about that event last week, but that was incredible, wasn't it? 49-year-old Woody Austin. Glad we didn't talk about that event now.
In retrospect,
precisely. He's not had a great year, Justin Leonard, and he's not won on tour since 2008. But I think his last two starts augur really well. Had four solid rounds to finish 13th at the Open, and he was on his way to a mid-division finish at the Greenbrier before a disastrous 82 on Sunday, which included a 10, looking back through his scorecard on the Sunday at the Greenbrier. But he was third here at this golf course in 1999, 26th in 2000, before slightly disappointing in 2004 when he finished 66th at Glen Abbey. He drove it brilliantly at the Greenbrier, despite finishing down in 70th position. Drove the ball brilliantly, finished tied 13th in driving accuracy. He's 51st in driving accuracy on tour this season and 36th on tour in strokes gained putting. He had a chance to win earlier on in the year in Tampa, where I think he finished tied 4th off the top of my head. I think he could be a good outside bet this week, Justin Leonard, at 125-1. So I'm going to point each way on an old boy.
Yeah, good old favourite of mine, Justin. So, yeah, good luck with him. He's that was definitely a very good finish at Muirfield, wasn't it? I have no more bets, Dave. The two players that were two outsiders that were close to being included were Roberto Castro, hits the ball well, but I think you need to put one thing we haven't mentioned so much here is you need to put well here.
Yeah,
I believe.
No, I think so as well. I've got two guys that can put.
Kevin Chappell would be an interesting outsider. He's drifted back out in the markets again after a recent second, and where his form, his odds contracted a little bit. But I think he's back out to 66-1, so that catches the eye a little bit. Castro also has had a second this year. They'd be the two outsiders. Ches Reavie is another one who I picked a couple of times lately. He was one here in 2008 and wouldn't knock anyone off backing him because he's been in solid form of late. His form figures actually don't tell you how well he's been playing. Very accurate off the tee and a past winner at the course. You'd have to say he'd have a chance. Graham Delate would be popular.
Yeah, he's short, isn't he? I think 28 to 1.
I think he's very short.
I think Hideki Matsuyama's incredibly short, 25 to 1. I know this guy is going to be absolutely world class, Hideki Matsuyama, but
it looks
300-1 last week, 25-1 this week.
Massive jump down.
Not made many PGA Tour starts.
No, he could be something. He looks as though he's something special, but it's slightly unproven. I think people are slightly jumping on the bandwagon with him. His form in the two recent majors is outstanding, clearly. But yeah, that's a big jump in price, 300s to 25s. Well, let's see how he goes this week. I'll be watching him really closely. He could be anything, couldn't he?
He
really could. But let's give him a little bit of time. Let's see what he's like under the gun, maybe, of trying to win an event.
And let's see what he's like on the PGA Tour.
Exactly.
It's a whole different.
Yeah.
It's a different beast, isn't it?
Yeah. Dustin Johnson disappointed over the weekend, last weekend, and I wouldn't. But this is kind of course that could suit him. He'll be bitterly disappointed to finish 32nd. In the mix after the second round.
Yeah.
Bob Estes, an old favourite of yours, might get one.
I've got him marked down. Bob Estes, great form figures here, hasn't he? 15th in 1999, 14th in 2008, 8th in 2009. And I think he's the sort of identikit player for this golf course. Just hits it arrow straight and puts well. But is his recent form good enough to justify the 100-1 quote? Not sure.
Yeah, you maybe want a bit more, wouldn't you? People don't miss those form figures these days, do they? You're not going to get 200s for him, you know.
A couple of other guys that were on my mind, Matt Jones, who I picked when he finished just out of the place as 7th the other week.
Yes, that was unlucky.
Don't think he drives the ball straight enough for this golf course. Missed the last two cuts when the tournament was here in 08 and 09. I like Patrick Reed. He's interesting, but again, I ruled him out because of driving accuracy. I think it's very important this week, and I'm not sure he drives the ball well enough. But him and his wife have teamed up, haven't they? They've been a good partnership on and off the golf course. Hopefully, he's finished 5th, 18th, and 7th in 3 of his last 5 starts.
Oh, decent
on the PGA Tour. And Martin Flores as well was...
Our old favourite, Martin, yeah.
Caught my eye, but again, doesn't drive the ball well enough. I wonder if Bud Cawley will play well this week. He had a good finish last week.
Yeah, but...
It'd be nice to see him come back to his
best. Disappointed on tour this year. I thought he'd have done a lot better.
So, 2 picks apiece in that event.
Yeah, Senior Open time, the big event of the week.
It is the big event of the week, isn't it?
Yeah, for us on this side of the pond, anyway. Not in Canada, possibly.
I think on that side of the table, more than this side of the pond. Fred Couples is 5-1 favourite for the Senior Open Championship. Bernard Langer, 10-1. Tom Lehman, 10-1. Colin Montgomery, Duffy Waldorf, Marco O'Meara and Michael Allen, all 16-1. Mark Calcavecchia is 20-1. Corey Pavin, David Frost, Fred Funk, Jeff Sluman, I wish I hadn't done this one, Peter Senior, Rocco Media, Russ Cochran and Tom Watson, all 25s, and it's 33s and bigger the rest. No bet for me.
You don't like the round bellies.
Well, I just know that you know this tour better than me, so it'd be stupid of me to get involved, really.
Well, we'll see. We've got...
it's at Birkdale, isn't it? I know that much.
Birkdale. Where Mark O'Meara won the 2008 Open, and he also won a tour event there, the Lawrence Battle, I think it was years before. So he's obviously a pretty popular pick.
And we didn't talk about the Couples ended up winning that market.
He did.
Lehman and O'Meara were the real the stars of the show over the first day and a half.
I think they were 8 clear of Couples, weren't they? O'Meara was certainly after the first round. But they finished badly over the weekend, whereas he had a decent Sunday and he won that market in the end. I didn't fancy him for that. This is the event I really fancied him for. I thought Birkdale would be where his focus was rather than Muirfield. But of course, he's played quite well on the weekend at Muirfield, and his price is 5-1, which I think is way too short, personally.
Yeah.
So I couldn't advise a bet on Couples. I anticipated picking him, a couple of weeks ago. He'd have been my pick for this, probably. But I can't pick him out of that, I have to say. Also, the weather forecast is a little bit dodgy, and I don't like Freddie when there's thunderstorms and rain with his back. That would concern me. I also anticipated it being 4 days of beautiful sun a couple of weeks ago, and it's not going to be that by the looks of it. Very unsettled forecast day for this weekend. Yeah, a couple of the days, certainly tomorrow, Thursday, and maybe is it Sunday as well, could be difficult. So, understand why anyone would pick him. I think he was 3rd here in an Open. He's in really solid form with a string of runner-up places in the US Tour, and also was top senior at Muirfield. But I, at double the price, I think Bernard Langer's got to be worth another go. Heartbreak last year when Couples beat Langer in the Open, when I'd had a very big each way bet on him, and Langer was leading even on the back nine, I think, and then ended up finishing 6th of all places.
I remember that.
He collapsed horrendously, but let's not forget that Langer plays the Senior Open incredibly well. He was 6th there, 12th the year before, won in Carnoustie in 2010, and 4th in 2009 and 2008. Those are not the form figures of a 10-1 shot. When you bear in mind that on the US Senior Tour this year, He's had 8 top 10s from 14 events, won twice, second twice and third twice. So he's been in great form, Langer. Just had a little bit of a dip in mid-season, but has started to come back to form. Was third in the Encompass Championship and 8th and a 14th in the seniors and in the US Senior Open. So I like Langer for this. I think he's accurate off the tee, which, of course, this is another links course. It's going to be important. Real good ball striker, obviously. Second for ball striking on the Champions Tour. Putting well. Top 5 for putting. 6 for scrambling. At 10-1, I think he's a really good bet.
Solid. 10-1. Bernhard Langer. Second pick?
I've gone for a couple of 25-1 shots, Dave. Not as strong as Langer, obviously. But Fred Funk was in the US Senior Open. Fred Funk had, was a pretty decent each-way bet for myself at 40s. Finished second behind Kerry Perry, who had a saver on to win it. So it was a 1-2 kind of for the tweeting podcast on that event. I'm going to give Funk another go here. Didn't play well in the Senior Open last year. Was 57th. But in the 3 years before that, was 7th, 3rd and 2nd. Mm. So really, taking the last year out of it, he's rock solid in this event. Second, as we just said, in the US Open. Again, you can imagine driving accuracy, all those things are right up his street, ball striking. So I expect Fred Funk to continue what has been a bit of a resurgence in his form in the last couple of events. Hadn't been playing well earlier this year, so really encouraged by that last time out second, and very much hoping that he can give us a run for our money at 25s. Third pick, similar rationale. David Frost has had a bit of a career year on the Champions Tour, won the Tradition and the Toshiba. 8 top 10s in 13 events for David Frost, which at a 25-1 shot is decent. Solid, if not spectacular, form in links golf in the Opens. He's got a 15th, a 6th and a 14th in the last 3 years, but he's playing better this year, no question about it. Won his first senior major, in fact, in that Traditions event. Will need to drive the ball better off the tee. He's not the most accurate off the tee, but he's a good greens in regulation man, a good scrambler, puts very well for a senior. David Frost has had some reasonable finishes over the years in the big one, as I say, not always stellar in them, but at 25-1 I think he's a reasonable price, and he's my third pick. I'll have you know what, I'm going to have a 3 points win to one place on Langer.
Are you really?
Yeah,
the old Tiger bet.
Yeah, I fancy him. I do. Very similar kind of credentials this week, I think. Whereas for Funk and Frost, probably a point each way.
Point each way on those two.
Yeah.
And you mentioned off air to me that there was almost a fourth that slid in.
At an absolutely ridiculous price, Dave, at 200-1, Mark McNulty catches my eye. I think he might have been joint leader after the first round last year. Plays very well in this event at sometimes. He's got at least 3 top 10s. He was second in 2009, didn't play 2010, and top 20 last year, top 20 in 2008, 8th in 2005. He's kind of suited to Lynx golf and hasn't been in fantastic form this year. He's kind of hovering around the mid-40s in every event. But just for a little bit of fun at 200-1, I just wonder whether he might give people a little bit of a run for their money.
I like it. Martin McNulty at 200-1 as well. Just before we wrap up, what about Monty? Can he get a major championship on the board?
Yes, he can. He can. He was never fantastic in Opens, was he? He had some good finishes, but more bad than good.
Yes.
I think he can, obviously. I don't fancy him at 16s, though.
No.
He has to show a little bit more. Couples and Lehman, if the weather had been really sunny, would have probably been... Might have picked those two, I must say. Russ Cochran, not Ray Cochran, he was a jockey. Russ Cochran, if he didn't have still struggling with injury, would have been close as well. John Cook maybe as well. They were all on my list.
Thanks, Mike. You can bet on the Senior Open Championship in play, and your bets must be on by 6:45 pre-tournament tomorrow morning. Recap. My two picks, just coming in the Canadian Open, I'm going... a point each way on Graham McDowell at 22s and a point each way on Justin Leonard at 125-1. Mike?
I've forgotten what I was having on my guys. Mahan and Schwartzel, it was a point win, half a point place, wasn't it, at 18s and 20s?
That's it.
And in the Senior Open, 3 points win, 2 points place at 10s Langer and a point win, point each way on Funk and Frost at 25s to 1.
And free lunch Monday bet.
Oh, that's going to be tricky.
I'll take Graham McDowell. I kind of want him against Hunter Mahan, but you can have your pick of the two guys you want him against.
Which one of those two? Yeah, go on, we'll have that.
Okay. Graham McDowell versus Hunter Mahan for the free lunch as well. Thank you for listening to.
By the way, I won the free lunch. Yeah. Can I just make that point?
You did, didn't you?
It was Hunter Mahan against
Webb Simpson.
Hunter's going to be making me a fat boy.
Yes, he is, isn't he? Yeah, Hunter Mahan 2 weeks running. I didn't realise. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast. I do hope you've enjoyed it. Remember, you can download it on iTunes as well, williamhill.com/podcast, to check out all William Hill's podcasts. And check out Golf Twitter Tipster as well. It's at Golf Twit Tipster and golftwittertipster.co.uk. And check out mine and Mike's accounts as well, at D Kellner and at M Grenham. It's been a pleasure, folks. We'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.